Lost in the noise over the victory for the Affordable Care Act in the Supreme Court on Thursday was a possibly even more far-reaching decision on housing discrimination. Under the 1968 Fair Housing Act, the court ruled that citizens may bring challenges based on the idea of so-called disparate impact. That is, if a federal action or municipal ordinance has the result of excluding a minority, regardless of its intention, the ordinance or action may be ruled discriminatory. Lisa McElroy, Associate Professor of Law at Drexel University, joins me now to look at what this actually means. Lisa, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, John.
So does this open a whole new range of challenges for housing consumers? Does it empower people living in neighborhoods around the country?
It's not really that it will bring more claims necessarily, because the federal appellate courts had said pretty much unanimously that people who had a different impact, a different effect on them, could bring claims. But people across the country were very, very worried about the Supreme Court weighing in on this. Because if the Supreme Court said no, there had to be intent to discriminate, that would set very bad precedent. It would make bad law, and it would actually eliminate these claims.
This reminds me of the situation under school desegregation, where there was a question of de facto versus de jure segregation, and that the outcomes were very, very different. Is this going to play out the same way?
Well, I think that's a very important distinction you're making, John. And remember that this is based on a federal statute. This is the Fair Housing Act. And this was passed back in the 60s to address issues of segregation. And then it was amended in the late 80s. And so what the court was doing here was not looking at constitutional claims, but they were looking at the meaning of the statute. What did Congress intend to do here? And they said that Congress intended to have everyone be treated equally, even if it was only an impact, even if it was only an effect. So it's a little bit of a different situation, but yes, both types of issues are tied to segregation, and both of them will have major impacts on neighborhoods and integrating those neighborhoods and all the things that naturally flow from them, like education.
Based on this decision, does any federal action include things like financial dealing with mortgages, or is it just explicitly housing issues?
Well, we're mostly looking at housing issues here. And we need to also be very, very clear that the court did set limits here. The court said that you can't just show statistics, for example, that some people, some towns are segregated by race, for example. You have to show that the government did something, really actually took action that had that effect. And also, you have to be really careful about how you go about fixing that problem.
And when you say careful about fixing that problem, it seems to say in the decision that you can't target remedies based on specific races or protected classes of one kind or another.
That's right. And that's where it brings us back around to racial segregation and equal protection. So what the court said was, certainly there can be neutral ways of trying to make sure that different races are not treated differently in housing. But you can't say, for example, this city is 30% African-American, so all neighborhoods have to be at least 30% African-American. Putting quotas like that are not allowed under this decision. And so it's going to be a little while now as city governments start to figure out, how can we comply with what the court said here and the Fair Housing Act, but make sure we don't violate that equal protection issue?
It sounds like this is passive, even though there may be some pretty remarkable statistics on segregation in metropolitan areas around the country. I'm thinking of Detroit and Chicago particularly. This law isn't necessarily going, and this decision isn't necessarily going to reverse that, but it may change some of the laws going in that will affect what happens in the future.
That's right. And as that happens in the future, we will see change. It'll take a little while. I also think it's really, really important to note that this has been a long time coming. There were two previous cases over the last 5 years that the court agreed to hear on this exact issue, but the party settled those cases before the court could decide it. A lot of people say that they were really worried, actually, that the court would say, no, disparate impact is not enough. And that then all the people across the country who had been bringing these claims would lose those claims.
And that's the surprise here. People were worried that the anxiousness that the court seemed to be expressing in wanting to hear this case, even though the other two were settled, meant that the conservatives wanted to weigh in, but that's not how it turned out at all.
That's not. And usually when we see a case granted cert, or when the Supreme Court agrees to hear a case, the odds are very high that the court will reverse the lower court. It's not what happened here. Here the court said, yes, we agree with the Fifth Circuit, and disparate impact is a cognizable claim, or you can bring that kind of claim.
Lisa McElroy, professor of law at Drexel University. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thank you, John.